Good morning. Good morning. We're now joined by the Honorable Tom Hodgson. Good morning, Tom Hodgson. How are you, my friend?
Good morning, Chris. It's great to be here.
How are you doing?
Good to see you, man.
Nice to see you.
Likewise.
Tom, we just had the convention. The primary is coming up. But you attended a big statewide unity event up on the North Shore. Tell my audience about that. For the Republicans.
Yeah, it was an amazing unity event right after the convention, hosted by Mike Minogue. And you had people from as far away as the Cape who drove up. It's about, for them, probably 2 hours, about an hour and almost that for us from here. But it was so energized, and people were so excited. Mike Walsh was there. He's running for Attorney General.
Yeah.
We had Elizabeth was there for who's running for
Elizabeth Dion is running for treasurer. We've all met with her. Yeah,
yeah, and not just the, and then there were some state rep candidates.
Sure,
and then of course Ann Brensley was there. She spoke, and then both national committee people.
Who's Ann Brensley?
Ann Brensley, yeah. She won the lieutenant governor. Lieutenant governor position for the convention.
Yes.
And so you had the two national committee people there, and it was so exciting, and it was jammed. It was close to 600 people.
I mean, that's a big crowd.
Yeah. 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 And it was in a beautiful setting. It was in Davenport, Danversport, which overlooked the water. And it was a full production. I mean, as it always is with the Minogue events, the full production.
Yep.
Big huge American flag in the back. He came out through a state American flag kind of opening in the back of the curtain. And it was so professionally done. And people are really excited.
Sure.
It kind of reflects his focus on detail in the way he manages his events and the focus on problem solving. And as he said, we're not enemies. We don't hate our opponents. We're all about unity, coming together, and doing what we have to do for Massachusetts to get rid of Mara Healey and finally get this back to a business model.
Yeah, and we went on the air, I thanked the sheriff for what a great job he does for the Commonwealth,
yes,
bringing these good Republicans forward. And I don't know if you were listening, Sheriff, for coming in, but we had a tremendous amount of calls of people excited about having an alternative and a good alternative.
Yep.
And that's a direct result of your leadership. So thank you. And,
well, it's a team effort always, Lenny.
Yeah.
And you're part of it. We all are.
Yeah.
You know, it's all about, you know, getting this region to a place where and not just the region here, but the state, where we can finally get some real representation, not people that are pushing everything through a political filter, instead of recognizing that they represent the people who put them there. And enough of the politics, let's get back to business and get the state back on track.
Yeah, we have a real, real shot this time.
We do.
To make change with real good people, you know. So the audience is listening. Let's hope everyone keeps the momentum going.
Yeah. Look, and I keep saying it because it's very the timeline is important here. Tom Hodgson and Jimmy DeMello met at the DeMello International Center in downtown New Bedford with Mike Minogue. Mike came down with a couple members of his team. They met together in the summer. And Jimmy and Tom came out of that meeting, talked to a lot of us, and said, we've never seen a guy like this, and this is who we're going with. Do you want to join us, type of thing? So the die was cast for the Republican nomination a long time ago.
Yeah, well, you know, the more Mike got around,
right,
people saw what I think we saw.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the three of us have been around public service for a long, long time.
Yep.
In my 25 years, I think I mentioned this at the convention, that, you know, I've worked with state, local, and federal elected officials for over 25 years, more than that, actually. But I'd never, ever, as you mentioned a minute ago, ever seen somebody who came to run for office, who doesn't have a personal self-serving interest in it. He's not taking a salary.
Right.
He's focused on, every time you hear him talk, he's talking about the problems we have and where what he believes we need to do to solve them. I mean, you can look into his career, at, not just as an individual with regards to his personal life, his Christian upbringing, his commitment to military service and serving our nation. Everything he's done, all the not-for-profits he's put together now, he didn't have to do it. He could use all that money for himself, but right. He's doing it because he wants things to be better. And so when you meet him, as you mentioned at the outset of this, right. Chris, when you meet him, you feel that. You see it. You know when he's telling you this, it's who he is. It's the essence of the man, and it's really amazing.
I was having a conversation last night with someone, and I said, look, examine the guy's career. I don't see a lot of failure. I mean, people do make mistakes. People do have setbacks, obviously. He's not a deity, but he's a West Point graduate, Army Ranger, earned the Bronze Star in combat, which makes him very unique.
Earned
it. And then made himself into a billionaire, right, by building medical devices. I mean, we've, as you and Jimmy say, we've never seen a guy like this before. When I met him, right in the studio for the first time, I've met him numerous times now, so thanks to the sheriff, I looked him in the eye and I thanked him for running. I said, there's a lot of other things you could be doing. You could be with like Lenny Mills in the Cayman Islands, but you're not, you're running for governor.
Yeah.
And he, one thing, when the sheriff introduced me to him, and I'm forever grateful for that, but one of the biggest things, when you meet him, he's intelligent, he's articulate, he's capable, he knows what he's doing, but he has a common touch. He has a common touch. He reaches out to the people. And if you watch him on his commercials, he's out there doing himself. He's talking, shaking hands, asking the people, you know, what are the challenges? What are the problems in the Commonwealth? And what do you think some of the solutions can be? And that's a great leader. That's a tremendous leader.
Yeah, and you know, the when he was at the Mellon International Center recently for that, when we did that full day of events, afterwards he was walking outside and said, you know, I'm interested in talking to any, and two of our Prince Henry people, actually I think it was more than that, but at least two were there talking about, you know, why things are difficult through the economy, the different perspectives they had about what's going on in the area, and of course they articulated those points very well to Mike, and Mike was very interested in that. And you hear this conversation, you see it on Instagram, and it makes you, when you see those things, you know, this is a man who's focused on not the bigger, broader political issues. He wants to know from you, every one of us, if he has the opportunity, you always see him. And he takes notes if there are things, certain things he's made aware of or whatever. He's very, very pointed about what he wants to learn and what he wants to make sure he's covering when it comes to becoming the governor.
You can join the conversation at 508-996-0500. The three voices in the studio, obviously, are me, but Tom Hodgson and Lenny Mills Jr. We'd love to talk to everybody. A lot of stuff going on here in the state. Sure, before I go to the phones, you've been at this game a long time. It's a serious business, but when does you? I know you had one unity event. When does the pressure build on the Brian Short Sleeve Sean Oliver ticket to consolidate behind? Their donors are going to have to make an evaluation. It's a little early in the process, but are they willing to continue to fund this to try to overtake Minogue? Which I really don't see it.
Yeah, I mean, look, I respect Brian for running. I know Mike does, and the others that have run, you know. But when you look at the numbers and the results, if you're talking 35% versus, you know, 50, 60, 70%, Mike got 70, about almost 71%. If you were talking closer numbers, but the message was overwhelmingly that the delegates wanted. They came in with big numbers, both on the lieutenant governor side and the governor side. And there's a point where we look at that and say, okay, the people at this convention, they really believe, the Republicans, they believe that these people could best represent our government going forward as candidates. So, you know, I think you get a lot of respect when you come in to low numbers,
right,
and you say, you know what, congratulations to the ones that came in with the bigger numbers.
Right.
You know, time for all of us to unify. Let's make sure we take this thing and get this state back, because ultimately they all got in it for the same reason, right? And so,
well, we're going to find out, right?
Well, we're going to find out. But the bottom line is, I do think that if you're really focused on getting the state moving forward, and the people that you at the convention said, look, these are the best candidates, but by big numbers, then let's get together, let's do it. Because we all are focused on how we make Massachusetts better, and what better way to do it than say, "Come on, everybody, let's do it." That's what good leaders do.
508-996-0. Get some people on hold. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Hi, Chris. I have a question.
Okay.
I turned in late, but I take it that you are in agreement that Minow is the better candidate. Or the best candidate for governor?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he won the endorsement at the convention.
Okay, now where does that leave Sean Oliver?
So, Sean is a great city councilor, and I applaud his efforts to try to get elected lieutenant governor. And and I think he'll have a fantastic position in the next Republican administration if he wants it.
Okay, so in other words, he's not married to Short Sleeve.
No, those two are running as a team. Yeah,
Oh, they are running as a team.
Yeah.
So who is the other person for Minow?
Yeah, there's a woman named Ann Brensley. She's a selectman or select person, member of the select board in the town of Wayland. She's also an attorney, Ann Brensley.
Okay, and do you feel that that they are going to be able to work across the aisle with Democrats? I'm an independent,
yes,
but I'm disgusted with the two-party system and how you don't look at issues. I don't mean you, but
right.
A person doesn't look at issues. They look at party. And I think we've got to get away from that. And we've got to get people who are, have the ideas that match up with your ideas, and not be allegiant to a party above all.
Well, I'll tell you this, that our local legislators, most of them are going back to Beacon Hill. And as an example, Senator Montigny has worked with a lot of Republican governors. Mike Rodericks has worked with a lot of Republican governors. Nobody gets everything they want. And and Mike Minogue, and the sheriff can speak to this, has a lot of experience in the corporate world and in the military of dealing with people who he didn't necessarily agree with on everything. But you got to make it happen, right?
And he doesn't believe in insulting the opposition, does he?
Doesn't sound like it.
No, and you haven't heard.
It's too bad, because I do. But yeah.
No, I'm a retired third grade teacher, and I would not let my third graders speak the way Trump speaks disrespectfully to people.
Right.
I'm not talking about policy issues or anything like that. I'm talking about human respect, and I don't see it a lot of times. And I know people tell me it's his shtick and stuff like that, but I don't buy it. I don't think it's funny. I think it's cruel at times, and I don't want anyone in office with that same sensibility, if you know what I'm saying. But yet I don't see anyone on the other side of the aisle that I can get behind, and it bothers me because I want someone moderate. I want to bring back Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah. Thank you for the call and the lessons.
You know, the caller raises a great point, which I think most people in Massachusetts are looking for. And and in Mike Minogue, you actually get that. You've heard him talk. We've all heard him talk many times about the importance of representing everybody. He said, "I took an oath to the Constitution, and I have an obligation to focus on the things that matter to all of the people of Massachusetts." He at this unity rally the other night, he said specifically, we don't hate enemies. We all have to work together."
Right.
And that's the kind of person he is. He understands, as you said, Chris. When he was in the military, I mean,
right,
people worked in his platoon.
Right.
When they accomplished the things they did, and him earning the bronze medal, he could never have done that if he was divided around
highway,
people's
right,
different points of view. And he gets that, and that's how when you meet him. And as I said before, he has a strong Christian foundation, and he catapults from that in everything he does.
Lenny, you've had to deal with a lot of difficult people in your life, in the concrete business, in the business world. You've met Mike Minogue. What do you think?
Yeah, well, Mike, I've seen Mike. I've talked with Mike, and I've sat in a room one-on-one with Mike, mm-hmm. with the sheriff, one-on-one conversation with mm-hmm. Mike. I'm here to tell you that Mike Minogue is a perfect gentleman. Mm-hmm. He is a gentleman. He has all the qualifications that we're saying, and that's absolutely true. But he knows how to conduct himself as a gentleman. And he has been in battles, most literally in war, yep. and he's been in the corporate world. And so, yeah, in business, he has to get along with these people. He has to learn how to make deals. He has to make money. And he's going to come to the Commonwealth. And when he's in that position, he's going to get along with everybody. He's going to get the job done. And he knows what he's up against. He's not naive. The man's highly intelligent. He knows he has a lot of Democrats in the Commonwealth, right. and he knows he's going to have to work with them, and sure. he will work with them.
Yes. 508-996-0500. But remember, Brian Shortsleeve and Sean Oliver, they cleared the first hurdle. They got at least 15% of the vote at the convention. So if they want to, and they get the signatures, and they still have the supporters, this could go all the way to September.
It could.
Yeah.
And it'll be interesting to see. I have a personal opinion about it, and if I were in their shoes and running, I would probably say, in the interest of catapulting things forward in a unified way, it wasn't our time.
Right.
But in the future, we'll walk away with the support of the people in the party saying, hey, you did the right thing. And if you decide to do it again down the road, you know what? I'll remember that.
Sheriff, you've had to deal with these sort of circumstances. At what point do they cross the Rubicon where they're no longer able to get a seat at the table with Mike Minogue?
With regards to...
Well, in other words, you're Brian Shortsleeve, Sean Oliver.
Yeah.
And how far can they go before the door doesn't open anymore? In other words, if Minogue gets a nomination, he's going to be the governor. Because I believe whoever gets a Republican nomination will be the next governor of the Commonwealth. So whatever interests they represent, in Sean's case, the city of New Bedford, at least part of it, does the door get shut? Because they went too far.
I'm a personal, knowing Mike the way I do, my sense would be that Mike, in this circumstance, regardless of when they did or didn't drop out, mm-hmm. After it's all over, Mike's the kind of person, if you have good ideas mm-hmm. and things that he thinks are going to help with solutions, he's not going to hold a grudge because he's focused on that.
He's not really Irish, you're trying to tell me?
Yeah.
But who's this guy? Who is this guy?
Yeah. But that's the very thing I'm talking about. He's all about the end game and what am I going to accomplish in mm-hmm. the end? You can't build a company that's bought at for $17 billion that was struggling in the beginning
right.
by Johnson & Johnson if you don't recognize that you want to bring on everybody regardless, to help solve solutions, even when they had differing opinions.
This hour is brought to you by the cold beer and the world's best chicken wings at Rose Alley Ale House in downtown New Bedford. Great day to sit on the deck, have some beers, have some chicken wings at Rose Alley Ale House. We got a lot of people on hold. We're going to take a break. It'll be a short one, and we'll be right back with you, the callers.
Every day you can make money talk. This is your chance to win $1,000.
735. 735.
Enter it right now at WBSM.com or on the WBSM app for your chance to win cash on WBSM.
This portion of programming on WBSM is brought to you by D's Hot Dogs in New Bedford, where you can get two hot dogs, chips, and a soda for just $6.
South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy. Weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM. WBSM.
All your crying.
Welcome back to the program. We got a lot of people on hold. We got Lenny Mills Jr. here, the Honorable Tom Hodgson, the former sheriff of Bristol County, in the studio. We're talking all about the elections and other things. We had a lot of great talks about municipal finance and the state of the different economies and the differences in municipal budgets around the region. Good morning. Thank you for holding.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we doing on this fine day?
Good, my friend. Good. How are you?
Too early to tell. So I'm an independent, and I'm on the fence between Mike and short sleeve. What's throwing me on with Mike is I wish he picked somebody outside that Boston area, because it's like you're dipping into the same swamp that's causing the problems we have now. Whether it's southeastern Mass or western Mass, I would feel a lot better. But when you're pulling from that same pool where the problems, to me, where they originate from, because that's what's controlling everything, I don't see how that's helping the situation.
So let me just, because I think there's a bit of a misunderstanding here, but you're certainly open to correct me. He picked a select woman from the town of Wayland, which is a suburb of Boston, but that's like calling, say, Lakeville part of New Bedford.
I still view it that way, because to me, I see my limited understanding is where all the changes are coming from, and where the strong, I guess what I'm saying is where the stronghold for the Democratic Party. Yeah, if it's the same thing, if the stronghold New Bedford and Lakeville's part of it, and it's part of it, but still, I'd rather seen it further out. I mean, because when you're in the other part of the states, you get another perspective. I guess that's basically what I'm saying. Because if you got somebody that's in the kind of doing the same area, you're really not understanding what's really happening in Springfield or on Cuddy Hunk. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
You want that diversity. I guess that's what I'm looking for.
Yeah. Well, caller, if I may, you know, Mike Minogue's not from this area either. And I would tell you that, you know, geography, to me, that I think that's the thing. You raised a point. Hey, you know, we had too many people around Boston who were calling the shots. But geography is not necessarily, I think, a measure for me, at least. I believe what qualifications do each of those individuals bring, both for governor and lieutenant governor, what experience have they had, and what have they done in the roles that they have? Is for example, you were talking about Ann Brinsley. She's a very active, on-the-ground kind of person dealing with real issues around rent control, problems that we see in New Bedford and other places. So I hear your point that, you know, traditionally there were always people saying, hey, you can't win. I remember people telling me I couldn't win it down here as a Republican. And that was sort of a mindset that people had. But I do believe looking at these candidates and saying, okay, what have you done in the time that you've been in public office relating to what you're looking for, right? You're looking for what are they going to do in the way of rent control, do in the way of illegal immigrant problem? What have they done anything in their roles, and will they be in touch with those points?
I understand your point, and they're valid. I'm just saying that it seems every time the elections come up, it's always from the same general area. How's that sound? There's never more, you know, some more diversification. I mean, the last thing I remember, you know, anything further was when Salucci, because he was from the Hudson area, if mm-hmm. I remember correctly.
Yes.
So that's kind of like a little further out. Okay, I'll accept that. You know what I'm saying? But when he keeps staying close to the Boston area, it's like, I don't know. To me, change comes from different points of view, different ideas. And like I said, Western Mass has one way of viewing government. Southeastern Mass has their view. And the Boston area has theirs. And it's been, to me, too much, it's Boston's point of view. You know, they don't care about, you know, making everything go electrical when people out in Western Mass are using mostly oil heat. You know what I'm saying? Because gas is not out there. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So they're not taking that stuff into consideration. And that's my, I guess, where I'm coming from on that.
Yeah.
And that's it. I'm not saying one's bad the other.
No, I understand. Hey, we're all trying to get to the perfect mix to try to make life here better, right?
Basically, yes. Yeah. And I was just a little like, oh, okay. You know, I mean, the only thing to me, Brian Stressley did good. I mean, you know, he picked somebody from Southeast of Mass. I don't care if it was from New Bedford or from Cape Cod. He recognized there's value down here of an input. And it's outside the Boston, which I'm going, yay. And that's it. That's my big thing. It's just, I'm just trying to see the same Boston running the show. I don't care if it's from Whalen or downtown Boston. It's still all Boston. The state's a lot bigger. You know, Chicopee has their own issues. Why isn't somebody from Chicopee better represented as a lieutenant governor or a governor? You know, that's all I'm saying.
Great point, sir. 508-996-0500. Lenny, your thoughts on this?
I understand what the call is trying to figure out. We're all trying to, you know, wade our way through this. But listen, a leader like Mike, who runs a business the size that he's done, I'd like the caller to realize that part of his job, because I have that experience too, and I had an international company I ran in the Caribbean. Part of that job is to pick people that don't agree with you.
Yes.
You know, you want to know some opposition. You want to know different point of views. We don't want to hire all yes men and yes women. So it's important that you have diversity. And Mike understands that because his qualifications and his success has proved that. So I understand the caller's concern, but maybe that the caller might understand what I'm trying to say is he's not going to just pick people that agree with him, and he has enough money, plenty of money.
Right.
He doesn't need these big donations. He's not beholden to certain groups, large groups. So there's a lot of green lights here with Mike.
508-996-0500. Thank you for holding. You're on the air with Tom Hodgson and Lenny
Mills. Good afternoon. Hey, Tom, Lenny. This is fantastic. I love every time you guys come in on Friday, roundtable with Chris.
Yes,
it's fun.
I love it immensely.
We do too, because we get to hear from you.
Let's just look at the facts. State budget, $62.8 billion. We went from an $8 billion surplus to a $100 billion deficit. We have $40 billion in unfunded liability. We're going to borrow $80 billion. We spent over $5 billion for legal aliens, and we have a $4.2 billion loss of revenue. Nobody seems to know where that money went. The Democrats are sending this state into oblivion. When are people going to smarten up? Let's look at the state convention that all of you went to. Mike Minogue was 70% of the vote by the delegates. 16% was Brian Shortsleeve and 14% Mike Keneally. He bowed out. Lieutenant Governor, which is what Mike Minogue's candidate that he picked, Ann Brensley, 52%. Sean Oliver, 17%. I mean, if I am on a track team and I got a guy that runs better than me and I'm in third place, I got to put the best guy on and give him the baton and say, okay, you're going to lead this. I'm not going to go and pick Brian Schultzley because Sean Oliver's from New Bedford. I mean, let's look at Mike Minogue. He's an outsider. Like you said, a businessman. He went to West Point, a decorated soldier. He was an Army Ranger, three tours. He has a huge company, an entrepreneur that's got a company from nothing. He's a philanthropist. What are people scratching their heads about? Now, we're going to be fighting in the Republican Party in September and then give a 2 months to go head-to-head against Maura Healey? That just doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah. Well, caller, you know, I think a lot of people share your point of view that it's not a swipe at the others that have run, but you know when it's not your time, but you're focused on the same goals or hopefully the same goals that the person that won is, that's the time to be in my opinion, be the leaders and step up and say, you know what, we're going to win this thing for Massachusetts because we care about the people. That's why we're in the race, but it wasn't our turn. People have told us that, so. Let's unify and really send a strong message and and all celebrate the victory in November.
Guys, we're having a lot of fun here this morning, and you can join the fun in person May 6th at Toast and Jam on Acushan Avenue. Make sure you come by. That's a Wednesday. May 6th, I'll be broadcasting live from 9 a.m. till noon. And at 11 a.m., the mayor will join me at Toast and Jam, great City of New Bedford restaurant. Stop by for breakfast. At 11 o'clock, we'll go live with a Seize the Deal to give you a half-price opportunity at Toast and Jam. Then on May 11th, I'll be at Tropical Smoothie, broadcasting live from 9 to noon at Tropical Smoothie right in Fairhaven for Police Week at Tropical Smoothie, May 11th. Please stop by and join the fun. We're going to take a very short break. We'll be back with more. Stick around.
Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
Welcome back. I don't know if it's the year of the cat. I'm not really sure, but I do like this song. We've got people on hold who want to speak with us. We've got Lenny Mills Jr. here, selectman from Rehoboth. Tom Hodgson, the former sheriff for Bristol County. And we're taking your calls at 508-996-0500. Good morning. Thank you for holding.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What's going on?
Hey, anybody but Healy. That's the way I feel about it. Anybody but Healy. Let the process work itself out. You had a convention there that, since you haven't probably had a real good convention in a while, from what I understand, I wasn't up there, a lot of people left, okay? So this 70%, how many were actually there? I don't know. I don't really care. Anybody but Healy. And as far as I'm concerned, I'm an unenrolled, and I want to have an opportunity to vote for Short Sleeve and Sean Oliver, all right? Now, if it comes out because of the money and the experience and everything he has, Minogue wins, no problem. Anybody but Healy, okay? But also, too, if it does come out that Minogue has to have Sean Oliver with him because Sean Oliver wins, we'll see what kind of a man he is and how much he embraces him. Because,
sure.
Again, yeah, this area has been left out of the political discussion for a long time, and it's a chance for this area to have some say in, a little say, I would say, in what's going on in Boston with someone who's from this area and someone who acknowledged him as a person who could have a say in this. So to me, let the process work itself out. This is almost like with the Democrats when they have their super delegates. Boy, that's really great, you know. In other words, they get 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 or 100 votes and you, as one delegate, you don't have any. Let the Democratic process work itself out. And again, if Minogue wins, fine. And let's say if Sean Oliver wins, let's see what kind of a man he is. And if he accepts him and, you know, they hug and kiss and make up and not hold any grudges, and, well, we move on. Let the democratic process work itself out.
Thanks for the call.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, I think we are.
Yeah.
Let me say this. I know the democratic process is going to work itself out because part of the process is knowing when to fold them, knowing when to hold them,
right.
Knowing when to run,
correct.
Right?
Correct.
Lenny?
Yeah, look, again, business.
Yep.
Talk about Mike's experience in business. And it's just like the fight business. I've been in that too. Both, mm-hmm. both. At the end of the day, if my competitor gets the job, I'm still friendly with my competitor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't, it's down and out with the enemy. And the same thing in the fight business.
Yep.
You go in, you have a fight with somebody, you get done, it's over with. In the end of the day, you go out, you might go have a drink, whatever, but you're still friends at the end of the day. And Mike Minogue, he's a uniter, and no matter what comes his way, no matter who comes his way, he's going to unite the people. He's not going to alienate anybody.
And if you look at the record throughout this, you haven't seen Mike attacking people. It has been going the other way. He doesn't entertain it. He stays above it, which I think again speaks to the quality of the leader. And we'll see where it goes.
We have a lot of other people running. John Deaton running for U.S. Senate, yeah. And you know he did really well against Elizabeth Warren. And now he's up against, I think it's going to end up being Ed Markey, but it could be Seth Moulton as well. And I think it would be really good to have a reasonable person, not a political activist, as our U.S. Senator. One member of the U.S. Senate, right? A Marine Corps officer, a lawyer, John Deaton. Who's running for U.S. Senate. What say you, Lenny?
Yeah, I agree 100%. And we can't forget these other, these other elections. I mean,
right.
The treasurer, right, yes. With Mike Walsh, and the attorney general, Mike Walsh, and the treasurer, Elizabeth.
Yeah,
those are important
here.
Positions
yes.
for the Commonwealth. So they're right up there with the governor. So, I mean, we got to fight for all of those because people really know we need change, and we got to keep reminding them that all of these offices are very, very important for the next, the future of the Commonwealth.
Yeah, and you know, Chris, when you look at John Deaton, I mean, this is a guy who is very focused on what should be done in Washington, unlike Markey.
Yep.
I think you remember back when Markey was sitting on his front porch in Malden, which was very seldom. He spends most of his time down at Chevy Chase,
really
very seldom around here, which is pretty obvious. He doesn't really push any real issues that matter to people here. But he's sitting on his front porch taking a campaign photo, and he's sitting in a rocking chair, and the American flag is sitting on the floor of his porch in a heap.
Yep.
And he was called out on it, actually by me.
Yes.
And he... They pulled the picture down, photoshopped the flag out of the picture, and put the picture back up again. Look, that represents, I think, a perfect illustration of what Markey really is.
Yes.
He's been in there for, I don't know, 30 or more years, 40 years, is it? I don't even know.
I know. I think it's
but
more.
It's far too long. This
yeah.
is a guy who's part of that incestuous, institutionalized operation in Washington, and we need people like John Deaton. If you
yeah.
saw him on the stage at the convention...
I did.
Yeah, that place fired up. He was talking about the things that mattered. He had his energy. He was unbelievable. I was blessed. I had the opportunity to second his nomination.
That's correct.
And I was backstage watching, and I was like, this is unbelievable. I mean, you can't, anybody that could have been there, if we could have had half the people in the state there, they would have all been energized and said, this guy is really focused on what matters for us. Markey, out of touch. He's well beyond his time. It's time for new beginnings and new energy and new solutions.
508-996-0500. Good morning. Thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes. Hello. Hello, you're on the air.
I think your blinker's on.
I think you're right, Sharp. Are you going to turn left or say hello?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Hi. Was calling in. I think that both candidates are really good. I think they'd be better than Healy, either one of them.
Sure.
Hi, Tom. This is Donna.
I knew, Donna. I recognized your voice.
Good. I have something to address. I'm not bashing anyone, but I've been asking about this question with Minogue's running mate. I've actually met her. I liked her for lieutenant governor. But to me, there's an elephant in the room for the tax issue she has, both federal taxes and going back like 13 years of property taxes. And nobody's addressed that. And for a person second in charge of the state, I kind of feel it's an issue. And I'm just wondering if anyone, is going to address that.
Did you ask her when you saw her?
No. I had met her previously to that.
Oh, well, she's going to be down
yeah.
here. And I'm going to make sure that you have the opportunity to
right.
ask
we'll
her directly.
Get her in here. Yeah.
I think that's fair questions, and I know she'll address
sure.
it directly with you, and I think that
yeah.
That should be helpful.
Yeah, I mean, there was a big news article about it on April 16th, clearly stating that they even had their attorneys look into it, and that the tax lien at that point had still not been cleared, $144,000 in property taxes, in 34,000 in federal, although she, you know, made some other comments. So, yeah, that's my that was my concern.
Yeah, and I would only say I don't know the specifics in regards to why that is. I mean, I think probably all of us know that in Massachusetts, given the way the economy is, things can happen to anybody. But the reality, I've had a chance to talk with her a bit, but she's going to be coming down and have an opportunity to be able to talk to people like yourself and address a lot of things with meeting a lot of people.
It's certainly a vulnerability, if not properly explained, that everybody would use against her.
Of course.
You know, I don't know much about it, but it certainly is a vulnerability should it all play out the
and
way
we
that.
And we saw that those things being thrown out about Mike Minogue as though, you know, he says something about a penalty and all of these kind of things. Listen, we know what big corporation, how big corporations work. It wasn't that they had done anything wrong. Right. They just didn't want to keep paying, you know, to defend themselves over these things, these regulations and so forth. So there's more to these things. This is what happens when people get involved in campaigns. They start slinging things and they don't put all the facts out there.
Good morning. Thanks for holding. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we doing today?
Good. We're doing great.
Good. Good morning.
Good, good. And I agree. It is time for Markey to go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No doubt.
Absolutely.
We need to clean that out for sure. It's just not working out. And exciting times ahead, It seems. And yes, anyone but Maura Healey. And unfortunately, we have Chris to thank for that, but that's okay, Chris.
Come on, Ken.
You're working on the right side now, Chris. So I have all the confidence. Okay. See you later, buddy.
Thank you, buddy. Have a good weekend.
You're not going to live that down, Chris.
No, never.
The audience is not going to let
you. I keep regenerating it with my own personal confessions. Yes, I voted for Maura Healey. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, you know what? But I give you credit for having the integrity to say it.
Yes.
You know, you've always been like that.
Yeah,
that's good.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back more jokes with Lenny and Tom, and Ken's gone now. But more jokes when we come back. Stick around.
Coming in out of the rain, they hear the jazz.
Welcome back to the program. I'm Chris McCarthy. We're finishing up the hour here. We got still plenty of time for callers. We've got Lenny Mills Jr. from Rehoboth. Tom Hodgson here in the studio. Of course, I'm Chris McCarthy, and we got people on hold. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning. So if one candidate decides to suspend or just get right out of the race, Could they say, if you keep Sean, I will bow out, instead of the woman who was chosen to be Lieutenant Governor for Minogue, who I don't even know much about, but I've heard a few things and they weren't great. So could that be done?
No.
I mean, I know.
No, because they're not negotiating. It's a whole legal framework. Ultimately the decision is going to be in September by the voters.
Right.
But I know they did a little bait and switch with Kamala and Joe, so I mean, apparently it's okay now.
No.
I don't know.
Totally different.
But, and Mike,
not that they wanted to do that, but okay, didn't know.
And Mike Minogue made clear up front. In fact, Mike Minogue made clear up front that, you know, he's going to honor whatever the delegates decide. That he didn't pick her going into the convention. What he said was, I'll follow along with whatever the voters decide. But in my case, meaning him, he said, my choice right now is I'm going to be voting for Ian Brensley. So he's never said that she's actually on his ticket. He basically said, I'll honor whatever the final results are for what the voters tell us, but for me, I'm voting for Ian Brensley, is what he said.
And basically, the only way to get the unified ticket at the end is win the primary. So whoever gets the most votes in September, I think that's how it's going to turn out. Whoever gets the most votes for lieutenant governor, for governor, that'll be the ticket.
Yeah.
Lenny?
Yeah, exactly. And I'd like to point something out. The caller with this question made me think of something. You hear a lot of things. We hear things about each other, right? Caller, right, in our own neighborhood and stuff. So let's give each person, in this case, Ann, an opportunity, because I don't know the details either, to explain her side of the story.
Right.
And we're intelligent people. We can figure out if it's sincere and it's factual and stuff like that. And I'd say that about anybody else, including, you know, anyone running for any office,
right,
or any friendship or any, mm-hmm, family member. Ask them for their side of the story. Like the sheriff said, she's going to come here and she's going to have an open forum and she'll answer those questions and we'll make a decision, you know, if it's true and accurate and we feel comfortable with it.
And again, this is going to be, because I believe that Brian Schultze and Sean Oliver will stay in the race until the voters make the ultimate decision. How that'll reflect on them, that remains to be seen. But it looks to me like they have the financial support out there and that they want to keep going. So they're going to keep going. And then the Republican voters will have to decide in the future whether that was the right move or not. Right? I mean, that's really what it all comes down to. What you do today is reflected on in the future.
Right.
Tom, I really appreciate you coming in. Lenny, I always appreciate you coming in.
Oh, thank you.
I want you guys to have a great weekend.
You too.
And folks, I want you to stick around for Barry Richard, who's coming up next. And of course, after that, the great Howie Carr.